Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we take a look at the NFC North champions, Detroit Lions Week 16 victory against the Minnesota Vikings. You heard me right. We're going to break down the victory. We're going to talk about what it means for the Lions. And as usual, we'll discuss what went well, pivotal moments in the game, any concerns, as well as takeaways and those major storylines coming out of this contest. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hey everyone, this is Lomas Brown, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined, as usual, by James Cook, senior sports writer for the Traverse City Record Eagle. You can also hear him on the Get Around podcast. It drops on Mondays. James, very happy to have you here on Christmas Eve celebrating a Detroit Lions division championship.
Yeah. First since 1993, first since it was called the NFC North. I mean, it was called the Central back then. So it's our first NFC North championship. Long time coming. Feels amazing. I mean, just as a fan, I can't imagine what it feels like to those players.
I can't either. It is absolutely amazing. As we get into this, a reminder to the listeners, please hit that like or subscribe button. It's helping us build momentum just like these Detroit Lions. Here's what Coach Campbell said right after the victory.
The faithful are here. It's a hell of a win. You know, that goes without saying. We knew it was going to come down to the fourth quarter. That's a good opponent. You know, they've got a lot of skill, and they play hard, and we know what they're about in their own home, too. So that's a credit to our players, man. And I'm proud of a number of people in this organization. You know, certainly proud of the coaches and the players. And this is special. This is special. It's something you don't get to do all the time. They're always special to win a division. I don't care how many of them you get because of the work that goes into it. But to do something that hadn't been done in 30 years for a team is special. And that's a special group of men back in there that are staying tame at this point.
James, we've already said it. The Lions have won the NFC North. You've pointed it out. It wasn't even called the NFC North the last time they won the division. This is their first title since 1993. The Lions moved to 11-4. It's their first 11-win season since that 2014 season when they went 11-5. But that year, the Lions finished second in the NFC North. They had to go on the road to the playoffs. Their last division title was 93. Their last 12-win season was 91, and they won the NFC Central at that point as well. I was still in high school. There are many Lions fans who weren't even alive when that last title happened in 1993. What are your thoughts on this, James?
It's just pretty amazing. You know, the defense stepped up. Jahmyr Gibbs stepped up. You know, Melifonwu had himself a game
and a half, a game and a half, really. He was amazing.
Yeah. Now they're going to have such a surplus of safeties when CeeDee Deuce comes back next week. It's like, what are they going to do? I would almost ask him if he's like comfortable playing outside corner.
Why not? Why not? You know, they're going to have some flexibility with their formations. And so this game, though, was so big on so many levels because as any Lions fan who's paid attention to anything knows, the Rams won earlier in the week and then Seattle won today. So, you know, the Lions had to win this game to qualify for the playoffs this weekend. They've gone through some adversity. The division got tighter and now they took care of business on the road. And they've led this division wire to wire now. They were never out of first place in the NFC North. That, too, is a pretty impressive accomplishment.
Yeah, yeah. It's just to do it like that. And then, you know, I don't know, they got two games left, so they can make it even kind of a lapper and give themselves a big edge there in the division race, make it not even close. But it just feels nice to have this off their, you know, that monkey off their backs, having that. I think it's another one of those stepping stones in the Lions franchise becoming, you know, a legit contender instead of what they were, which was, for the most part, kind of a laughingstock.
That is true. I agree. It is definitely a stepping stone. And you know, the game wasn't perfect, but Coach Campbell talked about that, and he just talked about how special this group was.
Yeah, I'm pretty ecstatic, man. This is special, but you know, like I said, it's a special group, and this is just the beginning. We feel that way. So there again, I couldn't be more proud of the guys. At the end of this game, and it's just gone back and forth, but nobody got frazzled. Nobody lost their cool. And when we needed it in the crunch times, we made plays. And that's what good teams do. They find ways to win the game instead of the other way, you know. And that's not an easy thing to do. But when you got the right guys who mesh together and they work for each other and they care about each other and they're accountable to each other, it makes a difference.
So, James, let's talk about what we liked in this game. You go first. What is something that stood out to you that you really liked that happened today?
I like the way the defense played. I mean, they gave up 24 points, yeah. But, I mean, they came up with four interceptions. You know, they were all pretty legit interceptions. They should have had a fifth. And that Brian Branch drop in the end zone, which would have taken seven more points off the board for Minnesota and made it a game that wasn't close at the very end like it was. And, you know, four picks. And I think they got a fumble recovery as well. Or maybe they didn't recover that one, but they forced some fumbles at least. It's nice to see the defense play well. You know, there was that one play where Mullins, when they're in the red zone, where Mullins is running around, and to see, I think it was Kaminsky, drop into coverage and not come up when Mullins is running around with nobody in front of him other than him, and there was a DB back in the end zone, because they know that Mullins, this is not a threat to run the ball, so they're just not going to let him throw the ball. And he, you know, they played that perfectly. His situational awareness of who is on the field and what his strengths and weaknesses are. And it's just kind of great to see those kind of plays.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The defense did some real interesting things. You're right. They had four interceptions, no fumble recovery. So they had four turnovers, all interceptions. The run defense was incredible in this. They allowed 17 yards rushing to Minnesota. It's almost like even when Minnesota took the lead, they didn't really try to go to the running game, because it wasn't like Minnesota was down big the whole game and all they could do was throw to come back. So that run defense did a really good job. The pass defense, there were just some big plays that happened at different times, but they came up with plays at crucial times. They almost had that fifth one, like you said. If Branch had been able to hold on to that in the end zone, that really would have changed the course of the game.
Yeah, they almost had that fumble recovery. I think it was Okwara just needed to fall on the ball instead of trying to scoop and score on it. And they would have had another turnover as well.
You're right. That final drive, I thought it was kind of interesting. I said, well, I tweeted this out. I said some stuff to some friends. I said, who would have thought it's going to come down to the defense to win the division championship on this drive. And then I also pointed out, I said, if we can just get one more turnover, I think that would do it for us. And it came down to the final minute, and it came down to Ifeatu Melifonwu, and you've already mentioned his name. His name is worth mentioning probably a dozen more times. The dude had 5 tackles, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for a loss, an interception, 2 passes defended. As you mentioned, this guy has become a huge asset to the secondary, to the defense. And we saw Kirby Joseph go out with injury, and we had Tracy Walker to come in. So that depth right there was huge.
Yeah, Joseph luckily ended up coming back later, but he did go out for a little bit. Interesting thing about Melifonwu is technically he was the first draft pick the Lions used in the Matt Stafford trade.
He was. You're right.
So he was the first guy that they got in that trade from Matthew Stafford, other than getting Goff, but the first guy they drafted with all those picks that they got. That's just interesting. Hopefully that's just a coming out game for him and he keeps going, you know, because his first couple of seasons were pretty hit and miss, you know, showing some signs, but not being very consistent, not able to get on the field a whole lot even. This year he has just emerged in a very, very good way.
He has. He's a guy that a lot of people have questioned about the last 2 years and wondered if he would even stick on the roster out of training camp this year. But he is starting to blossom into the guy that Brad Holmes saw when he drafted him out of Syracuse. And so, I think a big thing that helped our defense in that final drive is what our offense managed to do most of the game, win the time of possession. With about 8 minutes left in the game, the Lions had the ball 34 minutes to the Vikings 18 minutes. That meant, as crazy as that final drive may have been, as crazy as the fourth quarter could have gone up and down, our defense wasn't running out of steam by the time we got there. And we've talked about that. One of the best defenses is keeping your offense on the field. And the Lions, it wasn't perfect all the time, but they won that battle. And they had the run game going for a big chunk of the game as well.
Yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs averaging over 5 yards a carry. I don't see how there's a point where he's probably not in the conversation for offensive rookie of the year, right? He's outplayed Bijan Robinson. Stroud is out, has missed multiple games here at the end of the season. Whereas he would have been the front runner. So, you know, maybe Jahmyr Gibbs pulls himself right back into that running for that.
It'll be interesting because I think CJ Stroud, everyone felt like he wrapped it up 2 weeks ago before he got hurt because he has just been so dominant. But we'll see if he comes back and doesn't play well, maybe. But, you know, it's hard to argue with what CJ Stroud has done. I'm also going to throw out a funny little wrinkle. When they look at NFL MVP, they're like, is it Brock Purdy? Is it Christian McCaffrey? Like, they cancel each other out. Well, Jahmyr Gibbs has a teammate who is no slouch himself in Sam Laporta. And so maybe by both of them doing so well, that overshadows the individual achievement of one player on the team. And so either way, what a return on this rookie draft class for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I think they could both finish. They could finish second and third easily in the offensive rookie of the year voting. You know, and Brian Branch could be right up there for defensive rookie of the year.
Very strong candidate right there. You're right.
Yeah. So they could potentially have two guys that are in the top two or three in rookie of the year voting on their side of the ball that they got into the second round.
Now, another thing I want to point out here is looking back at Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. You know, Gibbs had 80 yards on 15 carries, Montgomery 55 on 17. Montgomery didn't have as many yards per average as Gibbs did, 5 versus 3. But they both got in the end zone. The thing I like here, and I want to point out, because a lot of people are like, well, where's Montgomery? We want Montgomery in there on the goal line. And I think some people have maybe alluded to this a little bit. We know when the Lions went and got these guys and replaced the ball carriers from last year of Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift, Montgomery can catch a little bit better than he's more of a receiving threat than Jamal Williams was. Gibbs was similar to Swift, but he was more like Jamal Williams than Swift was. And so what I'm getting to here is there's some overlap between Gibbs and Montgomery that just didn't exist before. And Gibbs can do some of those things that Montgomery can do on running inside and doing some pounding and making guys miss. And we saw Gibbs get 2 touchdowns. And so what a duo the Lions have with both of these running backs in there. As a team, they ran for 143 yards. Our running attack is just powerful.
Yeah, and then conversely, on the other side of the ball, Minnesota's was last week. You know, Mike Chandler ran for 132 yards last week against Cincinnati and a touchdown. He averaged 5.7 yards a carry. And this week, the Lions hold him to 2.1. Yeah. And they pretty much just give up throwing the ball or give up pass and run the ball. You know, Minnesota only ran the ball 11 times and threw it 36.
They did. They threw it a ton. And I tell you, you put up a lot of numbers like that. You know, they threw it for 411 yards, but two touchdowns, four interceptions, though. When you get one-dimensional, it makes it harder to win. And so that's why I appreciate the Lions running game so much, because it set up a passing game, a passing attack. Amon-Ra St. Brown had 12 catches, 106 yards, and a touchdown. His longest one was 25 yards. But he made some crucial plays, some big misses. Amon-Ra St. Brown continues to do what the Lions have envisioned him doing before this season started. And teams haven't been able to stop it, even when we know we're going to it. And the emergence of a guy like Jameson Williams, 5 catches, 43 yards. Right, Sam Laporta did not have the biggest day, but I guarantee you he drew more coverage to himself that allowed other guys to be open. I mean, you saw Josh Reynolds make a nice play early in this game. Donovan Peoples-Jones had a sighting and had a crucial catch. And Jared Goff, 30 for 40, 257 yards, a touchdown. Nothing that's going to say, hey, look at all these highlights, but he had zero turnovers in this game, and he hit his guys, and the Lions got the job done. So impressive numbers there on offense. The Lions were clicking at times, and then they had some hiccups. And so I'm also thrilled with the defense, keeping that run game going, keeping them one-dimensional. You know, there were some breakdowns at time in the secondary. There were just some incredible plays by Justin Jefferson, because that guy is an MVP for a reason. 6 catches, 141 yards, and a touchdown. Fortunately, though, the Lions defense stepped up. They made plays when it was crucial. And so let's pivot here just for a moment. We have this segment. Is there anything you didn't like? Are there any concerns you have in this game?
I guess one thing that was concerning was having 5 delay of game penalties. You know, I know you're on the road and Minnesota is not an easy place to play because it's indoors. It's loud, similar to Ford Field. But 5 delay of game penalties was a little concerning. You know, the pass rush still didn't, you know, generated pressure for the second, you know, couple weeks in a row now, but hasn't been able to get home a lot and actually get the finish it off and get the sack outside of guys blitzing guys who are not defensive linemen. That's what got all the sacks today was bringing linebackers and safeties.
I would agree. I would say Kendall Vildor made some really nice plays early on. I mean, he had back-to-back solid tackles in the second quarter, and then that's when Branch came in and got pressure, and they called it an incomplete pass, but man, if you would have slowed that down, and they slowed it down briefly, it almost looked like a sack fumble play. And so there were some great plays, some great pressure coming from around, but you're right. We had to get it from different levels to get in there, and so they would be nice to just, again, continue to see the evolution. Maybe there's a chance James Houston does come back that final week. If not, I like the creativeness the Lions are using or doing to try and create more pressure, and I'm applauding them for that. I guess here's one commentary you might hear coming out of this game, James. And this is where, you know, people are like, the Vikings were missing TJ Hockenson and Addison in the second half of this game. They were down to their 4-string quarterback. And the Lions couldn't put the game away until the final minute of the game. I'm going to say, I don't care. Merry Christmas. The Detroit Lions won the NFC North by picking up a road victory. Coach Campbell has said, it's not always pretty. And a game is a game going against these guys. And I'm taking the victory. I'm not giving an apology for the way it happened. The Lions got the job done when the game was on the line, and I'm thankful for it. And so, you know what? Every week is a different matchup. It's a different group of players. And I'm taking this victory. We're putting it in the bank, and we're going to hang a banner in Ford Field.
Yeah. And if you look at the Vikings, too, I mean, yeah, you can say that they had some players out, which, you know, Hockenson was pretty effective before he got hurt. Addison as well had some plays there too. So it's not like they didn't contribute. You know, they just had to leave the game. But I mean, the Vikings came into this 11th in the NFL in offense, and the Lions held them to 24, really. And it could have been much less if Branch comes up with that pick in the end zone. It would have only been 17. But you look at this team has also been playing very well defensively in the last, you know, couple of months. You know, the Lions and the Bengals in these last 2 weeks are two of only a couple of teams that in the last, I think since October, have scored over 20 against them.
Yeah. The Vikings don't give up a lot of points at home. And they've also been one score games for the most part, win or lose. So you put those things into the whole Rolodex as well and understand the situation that, hey, a win is a win, whether it's by 1 or 21. And so let's look at these turning points. There were some turning points in the game where things could have really gone one way or another. One that I thought was at the end of the half, that Vikings got that touchdown just before halftime. Lions DB fell down. Justin Jefferson makes a great catch at 17-14. And I thought the Lions should have been up by at least 14 points at that point, the way they were playing in the first half, but they weren't. And then we start the third quarter, and we know how those third quarters go. And the Vikings go down and they score a touchdown really quickly. They take a 21-17 point lead. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, well, we got a game. It's you know, winning a division isn't going to be easy, and it shouldn't be easy. Right. You appreciate the things in life that you got to work for. And this was not just handed to the Lions. And I'm appreciating that. And then in the third quarter, the Lions, even though they had to overcome a delay of game and they had to go for it on a 4th-and-1. And then they get it to Gibbs for a gain of 18. And then St. Brown gets that short touchdown pass. The Lions go up 23-21. So they responded in the third quarter. I thought that was huge.
Yeah. And they converted 2 fourth downs on that drive that ended up in the Amon-Ra St. Brown touchdown too. So that was just an impressive drive. I liked that they didn't turn the ball over much. They had the one fumble by Gibbs early. And I liked that they forced the Vikings into a bunch of penalties. The Vikings came into this game as one of the less penalized teams in the NFL, like one of the least penalized. And the Lions forced them to take a bunch of penalties. That roughing the passer call was pretty questionable. I wouldn't have called that roughing the passer.
I would have had to see a closer up view from a different angle to see if they hit Jared Goff's head, but you're absolutely right. It was real close. But at the same time, They called the pass interference on the Lions for offsetting penalties in the end zone. And I didn't really think the Lions pass interfered with the guy. So they're gotten real tight on some things. I would agree.
Yeah. There was a couple of penalties on both sides that were pretty, that I was just like, you don't need to call that. There were a couple of pass interference and holding type penalties, but then they didn't again call holding on the Vikings, who had a bunch of holes. There was one really bad one. I remember I tweeted about during the game. That it was like right in front of the referee, and it was the left tackle holding a guy that would have gotten a sack, you know, when Mullins had to escape from the pocket, roll to his right. And it was very obvious. And I'm like, how can you not call that? I understand the whole, like, we can call holding every play, but when it's very obvious and it's right there, it gets a little frustrating.
Well, I want to stay in the third quarter, because before the third quarter ended, I think this may have been potentially the most pivotal moment of the game for the Lions. The Lions were up 23-21 because they had scored and retaken the lead. The Vikings get the ball back. And Malcolm Rodriguez made a heck of a tackle 2 yards short of the first down. And that forced the Vikings to a punt. That slowed their offensive momentum, gave the ball back to the Lions, and it kept the balance going rather than letting the Vikings to try and get that snowball going down the field and try and keep that offensive moving. So I thought that was really big. It was a textbook tackle by Rodriguez. And it was just a really good open field play. So I think if Rodriguez doesn't make that, they get the first down. If the Vikings go and score, you just never know what's going to happen. So it was great. It gave the defense a chance to get off the field again, get the offense back on the field. After that, I believe we went into the fourth quarter. The Lions went down the field, and then they got a touchdown run for Gibbs. It was about a seven-minute drive. The Lions went up 30-21. So, again, it was just nice the way that all played out.
Mm-hmm. And that touchdown drive that ended up with the pass to Amon-Ra St. Brown for the touchdown. One of the interesting plays was, they converted the two fourth downs, but how they converted one of them. They went against their own tendencies and ran a sneak with Jared Goff, which you really have not seen hardly at all this season. And it was easy.
Very. Yeah, you're right. That caught everybody off guard, including us, because you're right. We don't see that play, and they made it look easy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he just went, I think it was Glasgow and Ragnow. He went right behind those two guys, and he got a couple extra yards past the first down.
Nice. Well, James, what are your final thoughts here as we start to wrap the show up?
This Cowboys game next week is going to be an interesting one. We're recording this during the Cowboys game, so we don't know how that one turned out or anything, but you know, it's going to be how the Lions play on the road and in a dome. It's a dome game, so you shouldn't have the cold weather Goff that people talk about. But it's still a road game that the Cowboys have been steamrolling teams at home this season, and we'll see if the Lions can blunt some of that a little bit and stay in this game and maybe even pull a win that would set them up for maybe multiple home games in the playoffs.
Well, you're right. The Cowboys are undefeated at home this year. They're a different team at home. That is a tall task. They're going to have their hands full that game. So win or lose, you know what? We have the division locked up. That means we have a guaranteed home playoff game. And so now we have that luxury to see what else could happen, to dream bigger while not worrying about the floor falling out from underneath us. Because I got to tell you something I saw on social media. Apparently, the Meijer store in East Lansing put shirts out for display on Saturday that said NFC North Champions Detroit Lions. Someone put them out before the game, like 24 hours before the game. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, it might be trending that way. It was, and it has happened. But man, you got to be careful about putting the cart before the horse, as they say. And so now that the division's wrapped up, a home playoff game is guaranteed. Now we can see what else happens, which is going to make a lot of fun rooting for football teams this week and next weekend.
Yeah, I love that the fact that, you know, the Lions are rooting in this where it's wins can get them home games and higher seeding in the playoffs, not just we need these eight things to happen just to get into the playoffs.
Exactly. As we talked about in our last episode, the Lions want to drive into the playoffs. They don't want to back in. And we just drove to Minnesota. The team flew. But some fans did drive. I saw some of their postings on social media, and they showed the routes they took. But we drove in. We took the division. And now we've got two more games before the postseason. And like you said, we can root for things, but we know we at least have one home playoff game. Anything you want to add, James, before we get out of here?
It was nice to them. Nice to see them getting Jameson Williams more involved in that game, forcing the ball to him, getting the ball to him in short routes and just letting him make some plays. And he had that one really nice play early in the game. And that's just nice to see, too, because that's just going to take off more pressure off of Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Five catches on six targets, making some tough catches. Would have been 6 for 6 if his foot had not been just barely out of bounds. So there's your evolution of Jameson Williams, folks. You're seeing the evolution of this Detroit Lions offense. They have the ability to add wrinkles we haven't even seen yet. James, thanks for being here. What an awesome, exciting time to be a Detroit Lions fan. And we're going to have a Merry Christmas after this early Christmas Eve gift from the Detroit Lions.
Great win. Hoping we get to do this again next week. How great would that be?
That would be absolutely amazing. A New Year's Eve weekend victory. That would be fun. And folks, as we get out of here, I want to say Merry Christmas and leave you with a final thought from head coach Dan Campbell.
Anyway, I'm proud of everybody. It's been a long time coming, and I'm proud of all the Lions fans out there that have been dying for this for years, man. That was for you too, you know? I know it's been a long time, so you deserve that, and it's not over. That's just one.
Thank you so much for tuning in, folks. You can find all the episodes at NotTheSameOldLions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. While you're at it, tell your friends about the show. Please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.